under NAFTA, as you recall, had, it's basically an investor rights agreement, but it did have some wording thrown in to make it look as if labor rights and environmental rights were going to be considered. Under that, the side agreement, there is a requirement that complaints about unfair labor practices must be investigated. And in the course of one of these investigations, a study was done by a well-known U.S. labor economist, Kate Bronfenbrenner of Cornell University, studying the effects of NAFTA on organizing efforts in the United States. Her report was in fact released by Canada and Mexico. It was delayed by the Clinton administration. She discovered that in fully half of the organizing efforts since NAFTA have been disrupted by threats to transfer production to Mexico. For example, you know, like a trailer can be put up outside a plant with a sign on it saying Mexico transfer job or something like that. That's all illegal, but the Reagan administration and now the Clinton administration have basically informed the business community that they're not going to apply the laws. So it may be illegal, but it happens. And those threats are not idle. After NAFTA, when organizing efforts nevertheless succeed, the rate of actual transfer is three times the level prior to NAFTA. These are reasons why workers are intimidated, and there are plenty of others. So during this period of dazzling profit growth in the fairy tale economic boom, major corporations have made plenty of money. In fact, they don't know what to do with it. Some of them do know what to do with it. For example, the Caterpillar Corporation just won a major strike, a big blow to labor in Illinois. One of the techniques that they used was to make use of excess production facilities that they had created abroad, not for purposes of economic efficiency, but for class warfare. They could use their excess capacity, production capacity abroad, to undermine domestic workers, which they did, along with other measures, such as the use of permanent replacement workers in violation of international conventions. The United States has been censured for that by the International Labor Organization, but of course doesn't care. These are contributory factors to greater worker intimidation, and they're related to the lack of constraints on capital flow. In the third world, it ends up with, you know, miserable poverty and structural adjustment programs and so on. Here, it leads to a fairy tale economic boom based on growing worker insecurity.